These Days.
This is Kids These Days.
Today on the program, we're talking about the value of music. Music education can enrich your child's life and help to unleash the musician within. Learning to play music gives children a creative outlet to express themselves. And learning to love music at a young age will plant the seed for a lifelong love and appreciation for the arts. Kids These Days is in the studio today with locals in the know about kids and music in our region. Also this hour, we'll spend some time with a musical family, and we'll hear from one young Alaskan about how she connected with music. That and featured songs by talented young Alaskan musicians. That's today on Kids These Days. I'm Sarah Gonzalez, in today for Shanna Sheehy, who is away. Well, today's show is all about music, and I'll get to that and introduce our in-studio guests in just a minute. But first, this. Last week's program was about emergency preparedness. After it aired, we heard from the Anchorage School District about their extensive disaster response plan. Gardner Cobb is the district's Director of Security and Emergency Preparedness. He called in to share with KTD listeners how your local schools are ready to take action if the need arises.
We have at each one of our schools, we've offered, and most of them have accepted, we provide them with a barrel of equipment, some tools, basic medical equipment. At 22 of our school sites, most of our comprehensive high schools and middle schools, and a half dozen of our elementary schools, we've actually upgraded these facilities to be shelters that will provide shelter for our students and staff and possibly some of their families for 72 hours. These 22 sites can capacity would be about 22,000 people for 72 hours. At these shelter sites, we have generators, backup generators for electricity. We have dual fuel boilers, so if the natural gas goes down, we can still have heat at these facilities. We've increased the septic capability, and we've also put on site connexes that have numerous supplies that would take care of 1,000 people for 72 hours in the case of an emergency. Things such as anywhere from Similac and baby diapers up to biohazard and medical supplies for people at the shelter sites. And, of course, we have an emergency operations center here at the admin building at the school district with a team that's trained and ready to go if the unfortunate event occurs.
That was Gardner Cobb, head of security at the Anchorage School District. You can find out more about preparing yourselves and your families for disasters. Go to kidsthesedays.org. Search our archive for last week's full show and find many other related resources. As always, we want to hear from our Kids These Days community members. You can join the conversation anytime and any place. Email us at mail@kidsthesedays.org or send a message using the contact page on our website. Today, Kids These Days is talking about how music can help raise Alaska's future today. You just heard a snippet of Wizard's Walk by the Asteroids, a group of young local boys who can attribute a lot of their success to both of today's guests. Mary Schallert has been teaching in the Anchorage area since 1982. She has worked with youth and adults in private lessons, as well as in ensembles. She is the director of Alaska City Folk Arts Youth Camp. She is also the orchestra director for the Home Base program, and she's on the board of the Anchorage Folk Festival. As well, Mary sings, plays fiddle, bass, guitar, and piano. Welcome to the program, Mary.
Thank you.
Also joining us is Frank Hauser. Frank is the music supervisor for the Anchorage School District. He has worked for the district since 1998, yes, in various positions. And in his current position, he oversees the entire K through 12 music curriculum. Thanks for being on the program today, Frank.
Me.
So both of you play very significant roles within our community and our schools as music educators. But first, I'd like to know a little bit more about your background, maybe as children in music. Mary, did you get involved in music as a child?
Well, yes, I did. My whole family played music at some point. probably the turning point was in fourth grade. I was in one of those little schools that were offering a strings program. Like we're talking in the mid-60s, so it was one of those experimental programs. So I'm like one of your oldest examples of what a school district product can be. And they offered strings, and I went home and I asked my mother if I could play. I wanted to play the bass, and she said that was too big. And I said, well, then how about the cello? And she said, that's too big. And I said, what about the viola? And she said, I don't know what a viola is. And so it was the violin, because that was all she knew what it was. And she knew somebody who had one. And she said, and you can play, and I don't care if you practice or not. I'm tired of telling kids to practice, so you're on your own. And there it was. So I was on my own playing the violin, practicing the violin. And in the meantime, there were a lot of guitars around the house, and people were playing guitars and singing songs and writing songs. And so there were sort of these two almost, I feel like, separate cultures going on. I had the classical culture happening on the violin side, and then the community music happening on the other side. And then at some point in my life, probably around high school, I realized the two could be easily combined. So there's where it started.
And Frank, what about you? What's your background in music?
My background started really with my father and my mom just listening to music. My dad would always have CDs playing, and I just, from early on, don't even remember when, just have loved listening to music. Wanted to start off with guitar lessons, of course, when I was really young, and my parents decided that, yeah, it'd be a good idea. So when I was about 7 years old, they bought me a guitar and got me some guitar lessons. I played and practiced guitar probably for about 3 years until moved to Alaska in seventh grade. When I came to Alaska, of course, moved to the Valley and didn't have a chance to, I didn't really know about the music scene out there. I tried to participate in the school's programs. And unfortunately, when I came into the music program in seventh grade, you had to have some experience on a band instrument, which I did not. So I wasn't able to participate in music in middle school, which has kind of really shaped my focus for giving every single student an opportunity to participate in music, no matter if they're in kindergarten all the way up to 12th grade high school. I think music really should be accessible to all students, really because of that moment in my life. But continued to play guitar. Enjoyed playing guitar and being involved in music. And then when I went to college, I really started focusing. It seemed like my major at the time was biology. And I had one biology class and about 12 credits of music, and decided a couple semesters in that, you know what, I think this music thing is for me, since that's where my love was. And just continued and, started teaching music.
Do you still play music?
I do.
To this day?
I do. Yeah, I still play guitar, jazz, blues, and of course, you know, I'll sit in on some other. Every year I try to participate in Tuba Christmas and do different things around the community when I can.
That's fantastic. So, Mary, you seem like the go-to person for community music knowledge, and you teach orchestra at the Waldorf Aurora School. You're on the board of the Anchorage Folk Festival, which is going on right now. And you have taught lessons privately for over 20 years. I'm just wondering, what else do you do in the community?
Well, I work in the home base after school program. That's a program that's been around for about 4 or 5 years. And recently they started a strings program last September. And one of my goals there with the kids in that program is to connect them with the classical community. We're just in the very beginning stages of it, so I haven't made a whole lot of overtures yet. I mean, my first goal is to get them to a youth symphony concert. So that's one of my projects. In
the home base program, it's what demographic, what group of children does that include?
It's they're mostly minority kids or kids that are low income, mm-hmm. and there is no way they could afford lessons or. And also it's 4th through 8th grade, so we're starting some of those kids a little bit younger than you might normally in the school district, which I think will be a great advantage when they do get into 6th grade. They'll have a little bit of a better skill base, so I'm hoping that will give them maybe a chance to play some more interesting music when they get that at that age.
Frank, you mentioned that when you got to like junior high, you kind of missed your chance, according mm-hmm. to this school. I'm wondering, and you said that you don't want to have your curriculum be exclusive of students who are older. Is there a right time or a wrong time to start music lessons?
You know, if I were to answer that, I would say really it's dependent on the student. I mean, some students, they're very excited about participating in music and learning music, and my philosophy is really to foster that. I mean, if a parent has a student who is just looking at them to say, please let me play an instrument, please, 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 I say, you know, give them an opportunity to do that and work with them to develop that interest and the love for music. It really is a success of a student in music really does depend a lot on their willingness to practice and be engaged in the music. You know, for us, instrumental music for the Anchorage School District starts at sixth grade with band and orchestra, but students have music all the way back to kindergarten. And so we really do focus on providing a good, solid education in music early on, and hopefully students kind of get that bug, if you will, and continue through and want to pursue it more.
Mary, what about you? Do you think that starting children as young as possible with music lessons is more beneficial than starting them later?
A lot of times what I say to parents is, especially when you have a parent that's bringing me their three-year-old and saying, can this three-year-old play the violin? And my answer is always, are you ready? Are you the parent ready? Because teaching a three-year-old requires very heavy parent participation. Now, if you start them a little bit older, like say 7 or 8, when the child is a little more committed, then the parent, it's not so much work for the parent. But, you know, that said, there's some great little preschool programs locally. The Kinder Music program is great because it just gets kids excited. It's a little bit of movement and a little bit of music and setting kids up to play almost any instrument. And, you know, if anything, we've all got an instrument. We're walking around with it. It doesn't cost you a single thing as your voice. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I love about the Aurora Wilder School is the minute those kids walk in, the teacher's singing to them and the children are singing back. And that kind of call and response and singing in rounds starts very young. And those kids can sing and those kids have music right from the start. And I think, you know, in the school district, they, you know, try to do that too right from kindergarten. You get them singing. And then when the child's I usually say when they start begging, then you start working out, okay, well, how are we going to do this instrument thing?
And there are some, you know, physical limitations.
Yes.
I mean, you know, that you really do have to take into consideration when you're working with students. You know, are their fingers long enough to play some of the instruments? You know, do they have braces? You know, even though that's less of a concern now. But there are things to look at as far as developmentally, physically for the students and certain instruments. But that's not to say that you can't start them off. I mean, like you said, the voice, fantastic instrument to start with. I mean, the theory of music, learning to read music, learning to listen critically to how you're playing and what you're playing is super valuable to continue on. So, I mean, while there are some limitations, student might want to play one instrument, but they might not have, you know, the span and the fingering to be able to play that instrument. Still getting them involved in music with the voice or maybe with a transition instrument would be another valuable thing.
So, Frank, in your job as the music supervisor for the Anchorage School District, you oversee a curriculum of music for ages or grades kindergarten through 12th grade.
Yes.
And Mary, you can chime in on this too. But Frank, I imagine teaching a kindergartner music and teaching a high schooler music are two very different things. And
I've done both. Yes, they are.
Okay.
Yes.
And so I'm wondering, can both of you explain how, you know, do you tailor music lessons to be age appropriate and developmentally appropriate for children?
Well, the district does have, you know, right now we've just adopted a new curriculum, the Spotlight on Music curriculum. And that is, of course, age appropriate from kindergarten all the way through sixth grade, which is the classroom music curriculum. And then when you move into the middle schools and the high schools, we have course content guides that actually talk about what it is at certain grade levels we want our students to understand, both musical theory and ensemble skills, because that's really what you're working on in the high schools is you're putting together really ensembles, bands, orchestras, choirs. We do have music theory classes and other kind of more focused study for the students. But it is age appropriate. It is something that you really look at what point do you want to start developing the students in music. But at the same time, I'm teaching my kindergartners steady beat. At high school level, if I've got a new student that's learning how to play music, I'm teaching them how to play steady beat, you know, rhythms, quarter notes, eighth notes, same concepts that you can teach to very young students. You'll also still need to teach to a more mature high school student, but the approach is often different.
I imagine too, and this is just my imagining, but that younger kids are more open and more free to be musical and sing as opposed to teenagers. Is that something that you find to be true or false?
Yes and no. I mean, I do think that there's that kindergartners love to play, and that freedom that comes with being a child and just having fun playing, and movement and music go hand in hand. As we get older, we become a little more self-conscious of what we're doing, and that idea of just kind of going crazy and having fun and, you know, just kind of letting yourself move and have fun gets a little more strained. But I do think that students, especially now, I've seen they're a little less cautious of that, and they're willing to explore that a little bit and have fun and move and just, you know, give it a try.
And to me, it's one of the reasons why music is so
Absolutely.
Important, because I think it keeps you in that, what do they say in Zen, the beginner's mind. And when you come into high school and you're playing music, if you've lost it, if you've lost your ability to have that much fun, you gain it back. And I don't think you get that in other subjects. I mean, you get that in art, and you maybe get that in sports, and definitely in drama. In the arts, that's where you get that ability. I've seen it over and over. I'll get a really shy kid, a kid that's afraid to step out. You set them up to do concerts here and there, and then suddenly you realize, oh, they're doing, you know, talks. They're doing their science project, and they're speaking in front of 30 kids, and they're not afraid anymore. Yeah. And I think that music is a great gateway to build confidence in young people and adults.
Well, I know when I used to teach music and, you know, directly with the classroom, you'd have teachers come in and say, you know, I want you to, you know, watch this student. He's a little shy and everything else. I said, little Mikey over here?
Yes.
I mean, he's loving this. I mean, he's standing up. He's playing. He's having a great time. So there's that opportunity for students just to have fun. And sometimes when you provide the opportunity, they take advantage of it. So
what happens when it stops being fun and there needs to be like a routine schedule of practice that is maybe not so fun? I know that you guys have probably dealt with a number of children who just don't want to practice, or it's a chore to them. How can, you know, what advice do you have maybe for parents or caregivers who are trying to encourage their child to practice so that they improve?
For me, in a private studio setting, it depends completely on the child and depends on the parent. For a little kid, for say a 5 or 6 year old, and the parent really wants this to happen, you talk about it like, this is like brushing your teeth. This is like, you know, we eat every day. We put our shoes on when we walk outside and we practice. And for a young child, I don't encourage very long practices. When you get them a little bit older and they build a set of skills, sometimes I'll say, because I actually, community-based music is my main passion, but I also teach classical. So I might say to my book one Suzuki student, you're good enough. You know enough. You could go forth and play. You go forth and play. You could play Happy Birthday. You could play anything you want. You don't really need to practice. Just go play. And the eyes get really wide, and the parents are like going, don't tell them not to practice. But I want them to know that, you know, they're doing this for themselves. And, you know, a lot of times I'll say, like, I never practiced guitar ever, but I played and played and played and played. And I want them to kind of make that leap. And another thing I'll tell parents is, you know, you've arrived when your child is playing their instrument and you're going, will you knock it off and get your homework done? Will you knock it off and, you know, clean the cat box or whatever it is the chore is? Then you know you've arrived, because that's really what you want. I mean, they still need to do the chores and the homework and everything else, but you've arrived when that's happening.
This is Kids These Days. I'm Sarah Gonzalez, and I'm in the studio today with Frank Hauser and Mary Schallert. We're talking about music and how it can impact the lives of children. What do you think? Send your comments to us now at mail@kidsthesedays.org or comment online at our website. During the show today, we're featuring music of young Alaskans, and let's hear another little clip from a band called Evergreen, and this is Whiskey Before Breakfast. Thank you. Evergreen, a band that you are very well acquainted with. Mary, what can you tell us about them?
Well, they were one of my first experiments. I think it's like the early 90s. I had gone to Texas, to Levelland, Texas, and studied bluegrass music for a year, just for the very fun of it. And one of the ideas I got from that curriculum was they set up bands. And so I came back here and I started to teach. I was actually working in mental health at the time, and I started to teach just for fun. And so somewhere in there I thought, well, what would happen if I just started getting these kids putting it? I mean, one of my favorite things to do is to be in a band. What if I got some kids in a band? So I actually grabbed my nephew and told him to pick some friends that he knew that played music. And he did that very diligently, and I charged them. You know, it was a class, and we set up my favorite tunes and taught them to kind of play together, how to put the rhythm in with the melody, you know, in an ensemble way. And the parents got excited about it, and then we started talking about getting them gigs. And so they played for places like the Imaginarium's program that they have, their Trick or Treat Town, and the Awake Festival. And there are always these local, fairly, you know, free places that, or, you know, the Pioneer Home, find a gig and go perform. And so they did, and they got better and better until they became kind of their own, you know, sort of rock stars in the Irish genre. It was really cool. I think they had a great time.
And then earlier we heard the Asteroids, who are currently still in high school, I understand, and you know them, Frank, from the school district, mm-hmm. apparently. Yeah.
Yep.
And they're performing around town still, and they're a group that you worked with too, Mary?
Yeah, they're actually going to be playing at the Anchorage Folk Festival.
Why don't we hear one of their clips again, the Asteroids. This is Night in Tunisia. Hauser, it seems that when you teach a child music, you're giving them a new way to communicate beyond just talking through language. And what's the value in your mind as an educator?
Wow.
Of music?
Where to start? I really do think that, you know, we talk about the value of music education. And, you know, I mean, I think really music is just an opportunity for students to express themselves. It gives them an opportunity to tap into kind of that inner creativity that every child has and every adult and human on this earth really has. And I think that is a value. But of course, you know, there have been studies, and we can go back and we can show research has proven that music is beneficial for students' development in all sorts of areas. We were talking about practicing earlier, and one of the things I was thinking about when Mary was talking about practicing is, you know, how to get the students to practice. And she said that when you actually have them kind of at that moment no longer practicing, and she said they play. She has, you know, she's not practicing, she's playing. And there's that development. I mean, through music, we help teach students self-discipline, creative and critical thinking. I mean, when you practice, you have to stop and you have to think about what you're doing and how you're playing and what it is that you can do to make it better. These are skills that are going to be used for the rest of a student's life, and we use them every single day. What's the best way of approaching this problem? Problem solving. Through the study of music, I mean, these are things that we're really training our students, but also we're training them to love music and to be creative and just to have fun and to experiment with, you know, kind of this unique, ethereal kind of air, genre of playing music.
And Mary, you mentioned earlier that teaching a child music can really increase their confidence. I'm wondering what other maybe additional benefits that you've noticed over the years that children have picked up.
Well, my biggest soapbox on music education, and this is a quote from Michael Moore, who was a retired vocal teacher locally, said to me once when I was taking 6 months of voice lessons that music is present time. Music is a present time skill. And math, I mean, those subjects are very important. Music, the arts, will teach you how to be here and now. And that's something I think we're getting in our culture, just in general in our culture. We get away from, you know, we let other people play our music for us. We, you know, look at other people's art. But what do we do from our own personal creativity? And when you're bringing something out from yourself, you have to be here. You can't be thinking about what you're going to do tomorrow, what you're going to have for breakfast, or I mean, you can't. And I think that value is so important to kids, and children know it. And I think that's why children gravitate to the arts and why they gravitate to music. And then, you know, I hate to say it, but I think somewhere in our culture we teach that out of them. And then later on we want them to put it back in. And I think if you keep music in the schools, you keep music in the community, you know, that's a skill you can hold on to from the time you're 5 till you're 90.
Frank, there are so many studies that I can't cite directly right now, but, you know, that have linked learning music to having better reading skills or having more success in math or spatial reasoning.
Like you said, there are a number of studies. I actually brought, some paperwork on supporting music and the studies that you have. I mean, they have really proven that music and arts really do enhance so many aspects of a student's life, social-emotional development, being able to, interact with, your peers. These are things that, the study of music really do help provide. You know, that interaction is a huge aspect. One of the things that I had in on this forum is, a study of 7,500 university students revealed that music majors scored the highest reading scores among all majors, including English, biology, chemistry, and math. The developments and the skills that you learn in playing and reading music help develop some of these and support these other core, if you will, components in your life. You look at one of the new studies I've been looking at in a new program that they have, Tune Into Reading, is for younger students in elementary school. And they've been showing these huge increases in students' reading skills. And what do? They look and they read and they sing with a computer with earphones on. And that's what they're doing. After school, they're reading and singing. And they're showing these double-digit increases in their reading skills and reading comprehension. It's pretty amazing to just look at some of these skills that are increasing because students just are enjoying themselves and they're engaged. And I think that really is a key thing that music helps do. And, we talk about it increasing student scores. I think a lot of that is when you tie it to a school, it's because students become engaged in their school and in their surroundings and in their peers and in their friends and in what they're doing. And when they become engaged in that, they're more interested, they're more alert, and they're able to spend a little more time listening to what's going on in the math class or the language arts class because they know, hey, I've got choir later on today. I'm really excited to participate in that. Or they know that they're preparing for a concert, so they don't want to miss any school because they want to be there for rehearsals. So it's just that engagement part is important too.
You're listening to Kids These Days. I'm Sarah Gonzalez, your host today. I'm in the studio speaking with Mary Schallert and Frank Hauser about music and music education. We'll talk more in a minute, but first this. You'll likely be hearing about Sela Reese from Alaska in the music news within the next few years. This talented young musician is a senior at South Anchorage High School. She has performed at places like the Saturday Market, Tarabella, and the Sitzmark, and she is currently recording her first album. Before she heads off to college and to make her mark in the world, she stopped by Kids These Days to tell us about the teacher who originally inspired her and what music means to her.
Well, I'm 17, and I live here in Anchorage, and I play electric bass, acoustic guitar, piano, and I sing and write music.
Wow, you're like a one-woman band.
Basically. I can.
So you seem very passionate about music. How did that start for you?
Probably in seventh grade or so. I had one teacher that just inspired me to learn to play music because when I started, when I was like 7, my parents made me play piano because they were like, oh, Sela's so smart. You know, she needs something to challenge her. So they made me learn to play piano and I hated it. Then that one teacher changed everything for me when he taught me that music was so much more than just black notes on a white page. It was an emotion that laid within each and every note and every song. It was a story. And I was just like inspired that truly this was an incredible way to communicate and it could touch your heart in places that words just couldn't.
Do you credit this teacher with really instilling in you this ongoing love of music?
Yeah, for sure. Because, I mean, I just, like, I have so many memories, and it's a joke around the house of when I was, like, 7 and 8, I would just, like, bang my head on the keyboard and just be like, I don't want to do it. And my parents were like, we'll pay you to practice. And I still wouldn't. Like, I wasn't going to learn piano.
And what's the name of the teacher who inspired you so much?
Dr. Freeman O'Toole.
Hmm. So 10 years later, you're obviously not banging your head on instruments anymore, and instead you're getting ready to go, I understand, travel to the lower 48 and do some music auditions?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm going to be doing some music auditions for scholarships for Seattle Pacific University and Point Loma down in San Diego.
Will you be pursuing your study of music at either of those colleges?
For sure. I've kind of torn between a couple of things, but they're all in music. I want to thinking about music education because, you know, for me, it's like my story was I hated music and one teacher has changed my life forever. You know, it's like I want to be that one teacher and be able to give that gift to someone else. So I think that would be really cool.
So how do the auditions work? What happens at a college music audition?
Oh, man, I don't even know. That's the scary part. But I looked on the website and stuff, and they've got a list of different things that they would like to hear and different things they require of you. And so
you get to choose a song mm-hmm. that you're going to play. Do you have
three
songs?
Yeah.
Can you play something for us?
Yes, of course. I'm actually playing one of my originals, which will be kind of an adventure.
And what's this one called?
This one's called A Ballad of a Heart. Walking down the street and I hardly know you anymore. It seems to me that you've forgotten what you're living for. I stop you on the street and I look straight into your green eyes. All I see is one big hole filled with empty lies. What you living for? Oh, what you living for? Oh, why do you hide? Why do you hide? Go, where's your heart? You seem to have lost it along the way. Go, where's your smile? Don't you know that there are better days? There are better options when push comes to shove. Just look into his eyes, can't you see the love? He loves you, loves, he loves you, loves. He can't hide. So why do you hide? Such an unbroken heart. Remember when you trusted everyone? Memories, they're all just memories. What your problem is you've forgotten how to feel. You think yourself out of everything, afraid that it's not real. You used to dream and among the flowers you would dance. Now you're afraid to take just one more chance. Is your heart still beating anymore? Oh, is your heart still beating anymore? Oh, don't you
Wow, you are very talented. So what does that song mean to you and what's it all about?
Well, that was a song that I wrote, and it was strictly one of my therapy songs, because I write music to just kind of let out what's inside of me, and I never planned on performing it until I had played it for my mom one time, and she was like, you should play that at your next gig. And so I was like, you know, nobody's gonna understand it, but all right, I'll play it. And I did, and I received one of the greatest gifts I think you can as a performer, and it was to have someone come up to me after I played it and say, that was my song, I loved that song. It's one of the greatest gifts I have, I think, as a musician, is just to get to be able to share that with people so you're not alone.
So, like, really, best of luck to you on your college touring and your whole college career, and I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot more from you in the future. Will you keep us posted?
Of course.
That was the young and talented Cela Reese. You can hear more of her music by visiting kidsthesedays.org. I'm Sarah Gonzalez, and today the conversation is about music. We'll be back with our guests, Frank Hauser and Mary Schallert, in just a moment. We're listening to music from local youth this hour, and there's more of that to come, too. Also, families that play together stay together. A profile of one musical family, all after the break. Stay with us.
Next time on Kids These Days, we're talking about foster care in Alaska. Shanna Sheehy's in the studio talking with lawmakers, advocates, and social workers. We'll learn about unique issues around the placement of Alaska Native and American Indian children. And we'll hear from kids who have aged out of the system, but who are raising their voices through the group Facing Foster Care in Alaska. All that and more next time on Kids These Days. Join the conversation Tuesday at 2 and again at 7 p.m. right here on KSKA. This is Kids These Days on this listener-supported station. I'm Sarah Gonzalez. Today the conversation is about music, and both Frank Hauser of the Anchorage School District and Mary Schallert are with me in the studio to talk about this. We're featuring songs from Alaskan kids today. You just heard Swing 42 by The Emeralds. But before we get back to our discussion, there's this. Our guest, Mary Schallert, is very familiar with the people we're about to hear from next. She teaches all four of the Brubaker family's kids. Three are learning violin and one, the guitar. The four kids, accompanied by their dad, Michael, on guitar, performed at the Alaska Folk Festival this past weekend. It was a first for the two youngest, seven-year-old twins, Nina and Carter. Kids These Days contributor Jessica Cochran visited the Brubakers at their home last week to find out how and why they became such a musical family.
I'm not sure what I expected when I visited the Brubakers, musical prodigies who practice for grueling hours a day, or maybe parents steeped in classical music working hard to pass it on to their kids. What I found was a family that seemed mostly focused on fun.
For us, it's about playing together, doing something together, and when you play music with other people, it's fun. And it doesn't matter whether you're playing with your family or with your friends. You're going to have a good time doing it, and it's easier to learn music if you're having fun.
We just try to expose our kids to as many things as we can while they're young, you know, sports and activities, and music certainly was part of that. So when our oldest hit second grade, I guess we talked about, you know, maybe it was time to start playing an instrument, and so that's kind of how it started. We found a great teacher, and we've just rolled from there.
Mom Jill did grow up with music, playing piano and flute and singing, but she didn't keep it up the way she hopes her kids will. 11-year-old
Ryan, play fiddle and mandolin, and in school orchestra, I play cello.
9-year-old
Maya.
And then the twins.
Nina. Carter. And Zach.
It was certainly driven by us in the beginning, and, you know, I think we picked the violin. Ryan didn't really pick it. Carter picked his own instrument. You know, Maya said she wanted to play the violin, and Nina at first wanted to play piano, but then we had some musicians at our house last summer, and two of them played the fiddle, and they played at our house one night, and the kids joined them, and that night she came to us and she said, okay, I've made up my mind. I'm going to play fiddle. And she saw that that was fun, and the people got to participate.
None of the kids has said they don't want to play music. They've watched kids having fun at Saturday jam sessions and summer folk camp. Nina and Carter just started 4 months ago, and both were eager. But that doesn't mean it's always easy.
First year is, you know, it's a lot of parental involvement in getting them to practice. But once they get that first year under their belt and they have a handful of songs, you know, and they've maybe experienced some of these Saturday classes, or even if they're not old enough to go to the camp, they're certainly there dropping people off and seeing how much fun other people are having. And then they want to practice more once. That's been our experience. They want to be a part of that.
It may have been hardest for Ryan, the oldest. When he started, no one in the house knew how to play the songs he was learning.
I'd have to, like, remember it really well, and then certain pieces for our, like, fiddle, you have to, like, memorize it, and you can, the only thing that I can remember it by is by, like, humming it or something. And violin, when I started playing, I didn't know how to read music, so that was kind of harder.
Now it's a little easier.
If you're playing or practicing with your big sister, you're not counting the minutes. You're just trying to learn the song, and that turns into, you know, 15 minutes, or it turns into a half an hour or longer. So I think it's about playing with somebody else to make it play, make it fun.
I like to play the songs that Ryan knows, and So, because then I can have him play them for me.
Well, I like learning new songs and playing with lots of people, and I like when everybody helps me if I, like, forget.
Down the street, a pretty little gal I chanced to meet, if she would marry me. Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight?
They all kind of started out in the same place on the same song, so I've, you know, heard, we've all heard the songs for many years now, which helps. You know, it helps Nina because she's heard them too. It had been in her brain, and now she gets to actually play them with her fingers.
Carter bucked the trend, choosing guitar like his dad instead of violin like the other kids.
I wouldn't be like one of the only ones playing guitar.
But he learns some of the same songs as his siblings, because playing together, after all, is the point.
And we're just getting to the point now where the little guys can play along. And so that's really fun, and we're all learning together, and but we're thrilled about even with the simple tunes, how much fun we can have.
I'm Jessica Cochran.
Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight? Come out tonight. Come out tonight. Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight and dance by the light of the moon?
That was the Brubaker family of Anchorage speaking with Jessica Cochran about what music means to their young family. So, Mary and Frank, what is it about musical families? There's just something so special, and there's like this added level of joy or community. What is it? It's just, I can't put my finger on it.
One of my main missions when I'm teaching a child is, you know, if I notice there's a parent that has any interest whatsoever in music, is to pull them in. I have these classes that meet on Saturdays, and I charge the kids, of course, but if a parent can play the guitar or the bass, or they just might be interested, I make sure they can play too, because I know they'll go home and then they'll be practicing together. They'll be playing together. Well, that does two things. Well, probably does many things.
Yeah.
But one of the things it does for me is it gets the kids excited about playing. It gets them connected with their parent in kind of a really nice way. I mean, the memories, I'm thinking of 20 years down the line, memories of, I played with my dad. Mm-hmm. We were on stage together. That was a good time. And it gets the child practicing more, playing more, and it puts meaning, really true meaning into what they're doing, which I think is a really important, you know, again, I kind of come back to the culture, what our culture really needs. And I think kids, especially from probably the ages of 10 to 18, you know, they need meaning in their life. And I think music can do that, can give them that sense of purpose that, you know, instead of some of the other alternatives that are out there.
Yeah, it seems that as though music can really give a kid not only confidence, but also it's a means to discovering your identity, maybe a little bit.
And give your voice to, you know, you'll find boys, say boys right around middle school, sometimes they quit singing, but they won't quit playing. It gives them a chance to express themselves in ways that they might not be able to verbally because they're uncomfortable because of just the developmental age.
Well, it's a common expression, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you look at the families, and I mean, the family, they're so connected because, you know, dad comes home from work, mom comes home from work, they all come home from school, and they all share this common love. And it's from 7 years old all the way to the oldest parent. I mean, they sit down and they just have a good time, and they spend that, you know, that quality time with each other. And that quality time is that time that they're interacting, and not through words, though I'm sure they talk to each other as they're playing, but they just interact through just music and having fun and enjoying to play.
So the Brubakers, I mean, they have four children. They all do music. There was no, you know, assumption that, well, maybe this child doesn't want to do music or won't be good at it. There's the assumption in that family that everyone's going to play and everyone gets taught. And I'm wondering, Frank and Mary, what your advice maybe would be for caregivers who maybe aren't going to teach their children instruments or assume that we're all going to be in a family band, but want to have more music in their family life. How do you do that with your family at home?
Well, I mean, one of the things people could do, what's coming up this weekend is the Anchorage Folk Festival. And one of the things that's amazing about that festival is it's community music. And you go, well, you could attend it, which is, it's a fabulous show. Every 15 minutes, it's something new. But there's these workshops. And like Esther Golton is going to do a singing workshop. And Sunrise Schoberg, who is Jewel's aunt from Homer, is going to do a workshop that says, if you can talk, you can sing. I mean, get online and go look at it. And it is free. It's free, free, free. And it's an amazing event. If you're like going, I really want, how do I get into music? I mean, and you're an adult, that's how you go. What you could do. Also, if you take your children, you know, if you're going, well, I don't know what to do, take your children to some of this Anchorage Youth Symphony concerts, because kids, seeing kids play, you know, I kind of have this, you know, joke, the old farts, you know, we're great, but I know when kids see kids play, they're way more inspired than, you know, I feel bad because I'm like in my 50s and I'd say, you know, they're not quite as inspired as they are when they see somebody younger play. But that's just the way, you know, we are. And that's what you can do. If you go, we don't play music, get them out there, take them to concerts. And then they'll say, hey, Mom, I want to take up this instrument. And the school district, I tell kids, wow, when you're in sixth grade, you have an instrument. Yeah. What are you going to play? Pick an instrument. And they're eyes get wide, and they start thinking. And I think it's really good to get them thinking in third and fourth grade. What are you going to take when you get into sixth grade? And some of my students, I'll tell them, well, you're already pretty good at the violin. You know, and they've got a really cool band teacher there. Why don't you take a band instrument? Take flute. You know, sometimes the parents go, what, another instrument? And I go, well, you learn, you know, it's like once you learn one, two, three, you start realizing you can play more than one. I get very excited about this.
It's exciting stuff to get kids inspired to play music. It's so cool. And you mentioned the Anchorage Folk Festival, which is going on now, and we'll link to that website from Kids These Days. Frank, you mentioned during the break that you felt like the community music here in Anchorage, in the Anchorage area, was just unbelievably thorough and everywhere, and people throughout, you know, of all walks of life had access to what the Anchorage area or maybe Alaska as a whole has to offer. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, the support of the community in supporting music and music education in Anchorage and the Valley is just, it's fantastic. I mean, it really is. The Anchorage School District music program, the support that we have from Superintendent Como and the school board really do have a fantastic music program that really is accessible by all of our students. And I think that is largely in part by, like I said, the support of the superintendent and the school board, but also from the community. The community really has found a value in music and really puts an emphasis on that. And absolutely, I mean, the musicians that we have out in the community, from the Anchorage Symphony Orchestra, the opera, private teachers, I mean, we have some top-notch, just fantastic musicians out there. And the thing that I would say is they're musicians that love to share their skill, their talent, their knowledge with anyone who would be interested.
Mary Schaller, you are in that community of musicians who are just helping kids to get inspired and love music. And I'm wondering, is Alaska unique in this community of musicians?
You know, I would only say it seems so.
Well, and I think it's self...
Self-perpetuates.
Perpetuates. Thank you very much.
So, yeah. Yes.
When you have a good music scene, if you will, and you have that support and that depth and abilities, it just, you know, you have a lot of opportunities. You were talking earlier about, you know, the community performances are going on. The Anchorage School District puts on a music department. My department puts on over 30 festivals and concerts throughout the year. I mean, come March and April. We'll be, you know, 2-3 times a night, we'll be having large area band festivals, orchestra festivals. And these venues are open to the public, and these concerts are available for anyone.
And it really is everywhere. I mean, there's all these different levels of, you know, even the orchestras. There's like even adult orchestras that can play the basic middle school level. And then I'm thinking, you know, we have a very unique in our correctional system. There's the Highland Mountain Women's Orchestra, and I teach fiddle out there a couple times a month. And, you know, that is because I just think I think we've perpetuated ourselves. We've created a scene.
Yeah. We're talking about and celebrating music in Alaska and the value of a music education today on Kids These Days. Throughout this program, we're featuring music by young Alaskans. And if you've heard something that you like, go ahead and go to kidsthesedays.org to learn more about the musicians that you've heard here today and also more about our guests. Let's hear another clip. This one is Evergreen, and it's called Tommy's Tarbukas. I said. You both, Frank Hauser and Mary Schallert, can every child be musical? Is the ability to play music or enjoy music, is it something that's innate? Is it in every child, or is it a gift that only some people have?
Now, every student can, everyone. I mean, I won't even say students, because I've had a number of adults that have come to me and said, hey, I want to take lessons. And, you know, it's available. Everyone can participate and enjoy music. And I think truly that everyone does. Music is just around us. We hear it on the radio. You look at some of the best gadgets that are sold, and they're iPods or they're, you know, music players, MP3 players. Music is really an important part of our lives, and it has been for generations. And, you know, you look at cultures, and what really defines a culture is their art and their music.
Yeah.
You know, these are things that are part of our lives. And I think every student, and we've had a number of students in the Anchorage School District that have had difficulties moving their fingers, moving their arms, doing different things. And you find ways to help them succeed in music because it is good for students and they love doing that. So, no, every single student can participate and have fun and enjoy music.
I mean, Frank said it. I mean, that's pretty much how I see it, too. You know, I know that, you know, every once in a while you get a student that that has a drive that's a little beyond, you know, most, or, you know, and maybe it's because their parents play. Maybe it's because there's a genetic predisposition. Maybe, you know, who knows really what it is. I mean, and I always say that, you know, music programs are really important, not only for every child to have an opportunity to play music, but also to help, you know, children who are going to become musicians as a career can, you know, have a forum or a place to, you know, find that path. Not everyone's going to be a mathematician. Not everybody's going to be a scientist. Some people are going to become music teachers because that's their passion, and helping them find that is great. As well as all the rest of us who play just for the fun of it, you know, as what I call sometimes recreational music, community music.
Thanks so much to our Kids These Days guests today, Mary Schallert, a community musician and educator, and to Frank Hauser, who's the supervisor of music at the Anchorage School District. Thanks for being here, both of you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for having us.
Frank Hauser is the director of music programs at the Anchorage School District, and Mary Schallert is a private music teacher in Anchorage. Kids These Days features a number of regular contributors, and today we hear from Alaska on-the-go mom Erin Kirkland. Erin blogs about family fun and travel in the last frontier and has advice today about how to find music for the whole family in, around, and out of town.
This is Erin Kirkland, a.k.a. on-the-go mom. Music. Loud, soft, harsh, or soothing. There's a song for every occasion and a tune for every mood. Like personalities, our taste in music reaches far beyond the boundaries of our individual lives. Music adds emotion and invokes memories that seem to stick with us, even from early childhood. Music, it would seem, is an accompanist to life. As parents, we always seek ways to enrich our children's lives, and music seems to be an easy way. Lullabies, happy birthday songs, kids banging on pots and pans while marching around the house. Gorgeous! Ever watched children at a wedding reception? First to take on the dance floor, they skip and sway and swoosh around with everyone watching, and they don't care. Nurturing a child's inner Mozart isn't the point. Caring to nurture it at all is. Alaska's love affair with music and rhythm runs deep. From drumming circles of the Yupik to Athabascan fiddling, music resides in the heartbeat of Alaska's soul. Kids are not only welcome at music events, they are encouraged to participate in almost any way, shape, or form. The Alaska Zoo offers small children and their parents a chance to sing, dance, and play every Monday morning. Fourth Avenue's Paratrovich Park provides music twice a week during the summer months when hordes of children, young and old, flock to the grassy banks. And we have festivals, lots and lots of festivals. The Athabascan Fiddling Festival in Fairbanks, held each November. Anchorage Folk Festival, going on right now. So many acts amuse, entertain, and move us. No music theory required. But there's another song, too. Perhaps one with the most to teach our children, if we choose to listen. Sounds of Mother Earth can be experienced at the Museum of the North on the University of Alaska Fairbanks campus. There, in a small room on the second floor, is the place where you go to listen. It is the heartbeat of Earth in our ears, music in its purest form, if we allow it to be present. A sign on the wall tells us that we will hear no familiar sounds of music or nature, but every note comes from the natural world, here and now. The aurora borealis, an earth tremor, the sunrise, seasons, ever-changing, ever-present, beautiful, just like music. For Kids These Days, I'm Erin Kirkland.
Each week, Kids These Days links to Erin Kirkland's Fun Friday posts at her site, akonthego.com. That's all the time we have today on Kids These Days. If you want a little more music in your life, check out the Anchorage Folk Festival. Main stage events start up again Thursday evening, with happenings all throughout the weekend. It's a kid-friendly place, so you can take the whole family. New this year, KRUA 88.1 FM is web streaming performances from the Wendy Williamson Auditorium. Find out more by going to our website. That's kidsthesedays.org. Next time on Kids These Days, we're talking about foster care in the last frontier. What questions do you have about foster care? Let us know. Write to us. That's mail at kidsthesedays.org or call and leave a message, 1-888-583-7234 or 888-KTD-RADIO. Jessica Cochran and Erin Kirkland contributed to today's show from Anchorage. APRN's Dave Waldron manned the controls. I'm Sarah Gonzalez, and I produced and hosted today's show. Shanna Sheehy is back next week. Thanks for listening, and see you then.
The ideas, opinions, and commentary you hear on Kids These Days are those of the hosts, guests, and contributors, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of its funders or broadcast partners. The Content Producers Guild is solely responsible for what you hear on the program. Kids These Days is made possible by a generous grant from the Association of Alaska School Boards and its Initiative for Community Engagement. Kids These Days is produced in partnership with KSKA 91.1 FM Anchorage, KRUA, and the UAA Department of Journalism and Public Communications.